1 through 6. And I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, in you all. May the Lord add to the blessing of reading His Word this morning. Bow for a moment of prayer. Father God, I just ask that, Lord, you just fill me with your Spirit, fill me with your words. Lord, may your Word come to life in each of our hearts here today as we hear what you have given to be spoken this morning. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Now, if you have been with us for the last several weeks, we've been started through Ephesians and now in chapter 4. The first three chapters of Ephesians is probably kind of a payphone back, in a sense, right? Who we are in Christ. And Paul does a marvelous job of really just bringing that home to us, who we are in Christ. And so I think we need to understand. He helps us to understand and gives us understanding who we are in Christ and so forth. And so, who we are in Christ. And so, now as we move into chapter 4 and really through the rest of the chapters in Ephesians, Paul is now taking that who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us to now what we are to be doing, right, as Christians, how we are to walk. And so it's now kind of our responsibilities of what as believers, right? What do we do with understanding who Christ is in our lives as believers? What do we want to do with it? And so now in these preceding chapters, Paul spends some time there to kind of lead us in some of them in some awesome stuff here. In our text today, Paul says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Understand, Paul is writing this this letter in prison, while he's in prison. John was talking about he has been in jail recently, but we won't go there. But here Paul is...
Wiring.
Nah, I don't know. That's your story. Stick with it. Paul is pointing out he's is a prisoner, but he's not a prisoner of the Romans, who that's the actual case here. He's a prisoner of the Lord. And I think Paul is kind of pointing out that, yeah, he's in prison, but he's there for God. God put him there for a purpose and a reason, and if nothing else, to slow him down long enough to be able to convey this information and letter that now lasts from generations to generation that will help us in our walk with Christ. And he says, therefore I'm a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you. That word in the New King James is really, it's really begging. He's showing, this is something he's just passionate about sharing to us as believers. And he says, walk worthy of the calling which you were called. The calling, by the way, he's talking about is really not talking about, we often think of our calling as what God has asked us to do, right? Some physical thing. But the calling that he's really referring to is the calling that Jesus Christ called us all. In other words, that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:4, he told us, he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And in other words, Paul is referencing, in essence, I think, the calling here is that relationship that Jesus Christ called us to be his child and to walk along with him. And so Paul wants us to walk worthy of that relationship. Paul really spent three chapters, again, as I pointed out, focusing on what we are in Christ. In other words, how we are to understand what Christ did for us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it's because of what Jesus Christ did, not because some idea that you had that, well, I'm going to become a Christian today. It's all the working of Jesus Christ, all the working of God the Father, working in your life through the Holy Spirit, opening your eyes and your heart to the understanding that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He is who he says he is, and by that you believed, right? Our part was to simply, once it was presented to us, once he chose us, once he pulled us and gave us enlightenment, understanding, our part was simply to believe or not to believe. And so Paul points out the many things that Christ did in this part, this process, and what, how we are representative in that fact. Back in chapter 1, he says he chose us, him, before the foundation of the world, as we talked about. He chose us even before you were born, even before our parents were born. God already knew of you. He already understood that you would be here today. God understood that you are his, those who he would become believers, and that you would be with him one day. He had predestined us as adoptions, a son by Jesus Christ himself. In other words, we're not just, it would be really fine if we were just even chosen to be a slave to our Almighty God. But he didn't choose us to be slaves. He didn't choose us to be something less, but he chose us to be adopted children of God himself. And to understand what that really is, we should be overwhelmed by the fact that God wants us to be part of his family as brothers and sisters with Christ. He said he made us accepted in the beloved. And then we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins according to the riches of his grace. Here is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, right? This is what Jesus came to this earth for. Purposely, right? He came to earth, became man, fully God, come upon this earth to walk, to teach, but really his main goal was to die upon a cross. And that death upon a cross was the key to our salvation, is the key that we could be before a holy God. And so he is redemption, redeemed us, he bought us by his blood. And if for the forgiveness of our sins. Because you see, my friends, all of us are sinners. All of us are people who are not worthy to be with a holy God. A God who is all-loving, all-gracious and merciful. A God that in Jesus himself was one of no sin. And to be with a God that is completely holy without sin, we had to be like that, right? And what Jesus Christ did was to die for our sins. In other words, he made the sacrifice. He was the propitiation of our sins. And so we, in essence, are pure before a holy God because of what Jesus did. For us, of his blood he shed on the cross. Paul, last, as we looked at it last week, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Again, that mystery is the fact that we as Gentiles are also welcomed into the family of God. The chosen people of Israel were chosen to bring the gospel to the world, and now we are allowed, if you would, what Christ did upon the cross, in essence, opened the ability for you and I, as non-Jewish people, to be able to be entered into heaven and to be, again, children like of God Himself. He says, in Him you also trusted after you were heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation of having believed. Again, this is a work of Christ and God, that He brought about a church. He brought about believers that would pass on the gospel to the next generation, to the next generation. We in this generation are to pass on the gospel, the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us all, right? And we are to pass that on to the next generation, that they may know the truth, that they may receive the salvation of Jesus Christ Himself. And it might gather together and one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In other words, we will be gathered, right, in Him, with Him in heaven one day. And even while we're here, we are gathered together as the church, as believers, to support each other, to love each other, care for each other. And ultimately, as Paul revealed to us in the first chapter, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Once you have said, given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, meaning that nothing can take you away from God. God is holding you in His hands, right? You're not holding on to God, but God is holding on to you. So Paul says in verse 2, says, walk worthy with all lowliness and gentleness and love and suffering, bearing with one another. Paul is saying, after you know what God has done for you, what Jesus Christ has done for you, aren't we, isn't it common sense to want to walk worthy of what He has done? And he says, do you do it? And he gives us instruction in lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering and bearing with one another in love. Lowliness really is humility, right? It's grace that when you know that you have it, you haven't lost it, right? You have lost it if you realize it. Humility is just something, you understand where you are, who you are in Christ, right? And it's not being puffed up, right? It's not being, Paul said in Romans 12:3, for example, I say though the grace given to me to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself, right, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. In other words, God says, don't think more than puffed up and more than who you really are, but also think soberly. Realize who you are in Jesus Christ, right? And that is not being what he's talking about. When you're humbly or standing before Christ or walking your life, that you have that realization that you're not any better than anybody else, but you also are a son of the living God, right? And that is a sense of what we need to portray and show to the world that we live in, right? Gentleness, Paul says, is not weakness, by the way. It's a power under control, like one of the commentaries pointed out. We need to realize, as a child of God, we have an almighty God. And we're His child. Right? And so, we don't have to fight. We don't have to be, a bully, or to be overzealous about something in the sense of trying to take over. We realize we're positioned we are, right? We are protected by a holy God, and He will allow nothing to happen to us in our life unless it is His will. And when you get that understanding, you don't have to go through life, you're trying to defend yourself in everything that you step. You really just go through life realizing, God, if this is your will, then I accept it. If it's not your will, then you will make sure that I don't have to go through this, right? And so, again, that comes with an understanding who we are in Christ. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:29. Again, we need to think rightly of ourselves and realize where we are and what kind of position we are. We are a child of God, of the living God. That word is often misused in the world that we live now, that people will go, well, we're all children of God. No, we're not. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not a child of God. Now, we are all created by God, right? We're God's creation. But if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not a child of God. Paul says we need to go with long suffering through our walk and being worthy. How we live and how we walk is also with long suffering. And that word is really long tempered, or being able to endure what we have come down in our lives, right? We need to be able to endure the challenges that may come in our life and realize if it happens, God's will, and God will bring something good about it, right? Something is a purpose that God is doing. It may not be something we enjoy or desire or want to go through, but we know that God has a purpose in it. And again, we may not know what that purpose is, right? We may not even know on the side of life, but someday I truly believe we will come to an understanding of what God has done in our lives and the things we have learned. Most of the times what we endure is the fact that we grow, right? God uses that to grow us and strengthen us. You know, physically, if we get exercise, it hurts to exercise. You know, I was reminded that they told me before my operation to try to exercise my knee and getting it strengthened before they operate it. And certainly, I'll go through therapy to deal with it as well. That's to strengthen, and it may be painful for me to do it. But it's for good, and it's the same thing with in our lives. It's long suffering. In essence, what Paul is really sharing here is the things of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. All these things that these are in our lives that we as Christians start to walk worthily. In other words, God has done this in our lives. Don't we worthily? Isn't He worthy of us trying to do our best in our part in this world? He says, walk in verse 3. He says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father in all, who is above all and through all, and you in all. Paul is saying endeavor. In other words, we are to endeavor or to make our point an effort to walk worthy of God's calling in our lives. You know, we're also to work in unity in a sense that we are, if we're Christians, we're all one in Christ, right? And we are not to be fighting among ourselves or bickering. We need to understand that Christ is our Lord, right? And He is the one we go to and understanding. We understand we live in a fallen world. We are fallen people. Even as Christians, we struggle with our flesh and our own desires, and that we will have struggles, right? That's part of our understanding, walking worthily. In other words, being more Christ-like, that we won't have those things that we deal with in our flesh. So we need to understand we're also, as he points out, we're at war, right? We're at war not only with our own flesh, but we also war of Satan's world and his work that he is going on. One of the things when I was preparing this message kind of hit me home. I chew what I do in preparation as the first of the week after either tonight or Monday, first certainly I'll be reading the next scripture text that I'll be preaching on, and I read it over and over, and I like to call it as I chew on that scripture, right? I think about it and allow the Spirit to kind of point out the things that he wants me to bring out in a message, and what's this mean, and Lord, show me understanding of this or that, you know. So I chew on it and I go back and forth, you know, what's important sometimes, but sometimes it's like when I read this, it was just the fact of being worthy, right? Being worthy of our calling and understanding what all that means. And, you know, I was trying to come to a thought of, well, how, you know, what's a good way, you know, not only to share this, but to, how can I relate that to things that we live or deal with in our own lives, you know? And I got to thinking, I was, you know, I could talk about how, as I grew up, you know, I tried to walk worthily for my parents, and in the sense of, you know, I didn't do things that some of the other kids might have done, right, and so forth, because, you know, I didn't want to disappoint my parents. And, you know, and I thought, well, yeah, you know, some of the things, that, you know, I wasn't a good chewed food kid, whatever it is, but, you know, I tried to think, well, you know, I didn't do, you know, I didn't go around stealing like some kids did, right, or young children, or not young children, but teenagers and so forth that I knew as I grew up with. As soon as I had that thought, God brought to mind something I did when I was a very young teenager. A friend of mine, we were walking around, we found a couple fishing poles up under a building. We stole them. We took them, right? And I hadn't thought about that in years, but as soon as I made that thought, you know, I didn't go around stealing, God pointed it out, thought, yes, you did. You stole it, and I probably stole them pencils and this or that in my life. My point was being, you know, I wasn't really worthy of my parents' love that they had for me. And God knows that I put them through a lot of grief and worries in the life that I lived for before Christ, and the things I did, and I was no way worthy. I was no way worthy as a child, at least in their older ages, the things I did, you know, the heartache I gave them, the worries I brought them, and Joan can attest that she probably prayed for me and worried about me as well, and the things that God, that I did, to worry my parents, and then I really got to thinking about, well, you know, regardless of what I did, they still loved me. They never gave up on me. They still prayed for me. The fact I'm here today, my mother prayed for me, as well as other members of my family, right? I wasn't worthy of love, but they loved me anyway. And so as I was looking at this and understanding this, as Paul points out, that look at what Christ has done for us. Look what he's done for us in our lives. Walk worthy. And I think, Lord, I am not even to this day worthy of that love. I am not walking as good as I need to walk or worthy to what you have done, that you died for me on the cross. You shed your blood that I may be set free, that I may be called a child of God. I'm not worthy of that love. But you see, God loves you anyway. He loves me anyway. He's not giving up on me. He's fighting for me. He's there to remind me when I get all puffed up, like to think more than I think I should on myself, to bring me down to life. And Jeff, realize, you're not who you think you were when you were a teenager. Jeff, you're not where you need to be, Jeff. But I still love you. I'm still there for you. And that's our God. That's our God who loves us so much when we are certainly not worthy to walk in that calling that he's called us. that relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. He loves us anyway. And he wants the best for us. You know, God gave us, you know, the Ten Commandments and gave us the law. It wasn't for us to look at it and say, well, you know, I can do this one, I can do that one. No, he points out, this is where you need, this is a standard, and you're going to realize to a point that you cannot fulfill these laws, right? You cannot do this on your own. Only through Jesus Christ can I even come close to it, right? And that's what Paul is saying. This is why we are to walk worthy. In other words, to walk, to endure, to live a life of Christ as best as we can. We will fall, we will falter, but Jesus Christ loves us and died for us that we can still be called children of God. And so I guess conclude, or if you want to just to give us an understanding, but even with Paul's passion to want us to live worthy, we are to realize that we were unworthy to live what Christ is calling us to do. But why would we not want to try? Why would we not want to do our best to live as he would have us to live? Because it makes a difference in other people's lives, right? How we treat others and how we live is a testament of who Jesus Christ is. And that we need to come at times and understand and be reminded that, no, we're not perfect, but Jesus loves us anyway. No, we're not doing the best we can, but we can try harder, right? And it's not because, well, God's not going to love us if I don't do this. It's because God loves us that we want to do this, right? So I pray that maybe sticks with you a little bit this week to realize when times get crazy, as they often will, and as it is all the time, right? Just remember, God loves you, right? And he's there for you, and he's going to get you through it, right? You might not see it right now, but he's going to get us through whatever you may be going through this week. But he's going to be there for you, and praise God for it, right? Amen. All right, John, you want to wrap us up with a good song? Or even a bad song, yeah.